At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know, our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Hankook DynaPro AT2 Extreme. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing great. The Doug Gottlieb Show, broadcast live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Welcome, welcome, welcome in. You know, So I just got back from the Twin Cities. Shout out to the Big Ten. And, you know, yesterday was the NCAA Selection Committee's day, right? It's anybody who loves college hoops or just likes the bracket. It's your personal Christmas. Now you're looking at your bracket like, Gottlieb, just give me a winner. Shut the hell up. I don't care about the other stuff. I'll do that for you. We may even work in a phone call or two. Why would you take a phone call?
I don't know. I want winners.
You want winners?
I want people that want to win.
Yes! But I think there's this thing that we don't realize in sports, okay? Is we have this thing in sports about feel versus data. Feel versus data. And, you know, I do believe that if I was on the selection committee, I could find the best teams. Because if you said, hey, this is your job, go out and watch teams play, take in all the data, talk to a bunch of people, you'll end up getting the best teams. Because I do think I have a basketball eye. I've seen everybody. I talk to everybody. But here's the big thing, and this is at times hurt me in my career, is that I try and carry no biases. Right? Try and carry no biases. Right? I remember when I was working at CBS and we were doing the Patriot League. And the Patriot League's tournaments are at home sites. And I remember saying something along the lines of, like, look, this is great and the home sites, but I forget, there were two teams that had the same record in the league and they were matching up in the Patriot League tournament. And I said, well, it's kind of unfair that you're using, you know, a home site when a team had the exact same record in a league where you play a double round robin. You're using some sort of formula for who gets the home site when most of these tournaments are played neutral sites. It was just meant as a context. I get a call from somebody in the Patriot League commissioner's office and like, hey, just so you know, blah, 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 blah. And the crazy part about it was, if you listen to the 10 things I said about the Patriot League, 9 of them were overwhelmingly positive. The only thing that could be taken as a slight negative was, man, this is a weird way to decide a championship when you have some distinct, unique home court advantages and two teams have the same record and one team has to play on the road. It's not even a negative. It's just more of a contextual thing. But the point was, hey, dude, we partner with CBS Sports. This is our one chance to be on TV. Why would you say anything perceived as a negative? And it struck me at that very moment that this is why people can't be honest. And this is also why people have to have data to support decisions. Because otherwise their feelings, their ties, their emotions get way too involved. Right? Many of the people that cover the sport of college basketball, like me, grew up on Big East basketball. And there's a power in that brand. Power. Right? Big East is Big Monday. Stevie Thompson to Ronnie Cicely. Right? Sherman Douglas and Pat Ewing. Right? The little Chris Smith that played for UConn. You guys remember him? Right. Danielle Marshall. Villanova had, you know, the team in 88 that won the national championship. And then they had Kerry Kittles and Eric Ebers. And UConn had Ray Allen. And that's not the league that's playing now. Half the teams aren't even in the league anymore. And of the teams that are in the league, that were in the league back then, most of those aren't the good teams. Chris Mullin doesn't play for St. John's. So what happens is you get the emotion of people who grew up on Big East basketball, cover Big East basketball, watch tournament games played in Madison Square Garden, and like, man, this feels like all the stuff I've watched for the last 30 years. Like, man, a Big East team should be in the tournament, especially ahead of some team I've never heard of or never seen and not in my league. But this is a fight throughout all of sports. And I'm not sitting here supporting all nerds, okay? But nerds have feelings too. And they got a point, which is the data cuts away the emotions. It's not flawless. It's not perfect. In the actual sport of basketball, data would tell you shoot threes, get layups, get to the free throw line, never take mid-range shots. But in the reality of basketball, the defense sets themselves to that. Sometimes that's the best shot you can get. The point is that you can't use data 100%, but if you do away with data and you just go by your feelings and your emotions, you're going to go with what you know the best, what you like the best, what you see the most, and when you see it. Eye test doesn't work because when did you watch the team? You pick a team and you're like, man, I saw him play this team. I'll give you an example. Seton Hall didn't make the NCAA tournament, right? And you'll get people going like, you know, they beat UConn. They did at home. Did you know like 2 weeks ago they got 30-pieced on national TV by them? When did you see Seton Hall play? Take your eye test and throw it completely out the window because the eye test is based upon I parachute in, I watch you play once, and I make a determination how good you are. So what do? Because the eye test doesn't work, because all the feelings and emotions lead us to, if we like or grew up and want the Big East or love Shaheen Holloway, he's a contemporary of mine. Of course I like Shaheen Holloway. You remember him leading St. Peter's to the Sweet 16 and through their upsets and whatever, and you're like, man, Shaheen Holloway, he's a giant slayer. But if you don't have those emotions, you go, yeah, probably not in. So my step away is, it's the same fight we see with NBA broadcasters. It's the same fight we see with the NFL, where we're very scared of data. Because data may give us an answer that we're not comfortable with, that we didn't come to on our own. Right? The data actually told you Indiana State should be in the tournament. That one aligned with many of our feelings. But it's a hard one to pull off. Because you look at them and their uniforms are different and they're, what's it, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the name of Robbie Avila, the center, right? Or Larry Nerd. And you don't want to get that emotion of like, man, I really like them. And they're wearing Larry Bird's uniform, so we put them in the tournament. But the data, the net ratings, which basically takes in all that stuff, said they should be in this field. And why not? But even committee members are scared of all of the data, of going all in on data. So when I see the selection committee, one, it's an impossible job. I mean, let's just kind of be honest. Right? Impossible job. Because most of these teams are brand new from year to year with the current landscape of the sport. St. John's has 13 new players from last year. 13. Okay. 13 new players. And with those 13 new players, with it, comes the fact that they're going to grow and change and evolve and rotations, whatever. So if you're going to go by the whole body of work, man, it's hard to judge any team now based upon what they did in November. Right? On the other hand, if you simply go by now, what they did the last 10, 15 games, well, what was November for? What was December for? Why do we play games against other leagues then? So you can get a gauge for who's really good and who's not good. The last thing is this. The most tedious commentary to me comes from teams that are in the field that don't like their seed. Right? That don't like their seed. It's tedious as hell. Why? It's like, man, I didn't get the wedding invite right away. Everybody else got invited, and then I got invited like a month later. Did you get invited to the wedding? Jimmy was having a party, and I just found out about it 2 or 3 days before the party. You knew about the party 2 weeks ago. Did you get invited to the party? And look, if you're disappointed at the timing of the invite or the style of the invite or the letterhead that it's on or you just got it in a text, that's fine. You don't have to go. I love the selectivity of it. Don't expand it. I like it when people are like mad that they didn't get in. That's awesome. That's awesome. Right? The best clubs, the best bars, the best organizations, they cap the number and that's it. In order to make something special, you have to make it special. And I'm just telling you now that the reason that I'll give you an example. I think Jay Billis is awesome. I think he's really, really good at his job. But you know what his one flaw is? No, it's not because he can be super negative and a Debbie Downer. It's that in his heart, he's a dookie. He's a dookie. And his current team that got robbed is Pittsburgh. It was coached by Jeff Capel. Jeff's a friend of mine. Okay? And when Jeff got the job at Pittsburgh, I have a really, really close friend in Pittsburgh who's a great dude. And when Jeff got the job, I texted him and I sent him a number and I was like, hey, you got to meet Josh. And he's like, why? And I said, because you guys are like each other. Like, I know people. You guys are good people. You need somebody who's Pittsburgh, who will just be a friend unconditionally, and he's a basketball guy. And by the way, they are like best friends. I did that. I love that. It's like I was the matchmaker only for dudes, former Hoopers coming together. Right? But Jay Billis is like, non-conference doesn't matter. You lost to Missouri, who's the worst team in the SEC by a mile. You lost to Miami in league, who's the second worst team in the ACC by a mile. Right? You just didn't have the depth of wins. The ACC wasn't particularly good, and NC State jumps up and wins the league tournament, so they get in, and you do not. Clemson was way better out of conference, right? You played like four, five quality opponents out of your league. Florida, you lost by 15. Missouri, you lost by 7. West Virginia, who stinks, you beat by 17. And Oregon State, who stinks, you beat by 25. All right. You can't lose to Missouri. You got to be competitive with Florida. If not, you got to make up for it in your league. And you didn't. And the point is that the emotion of, one, he covers, he lives in the ACC region. He knows Capel. He knows that league. He knows they won at Duke. He respects how hard it is to win at Duke, no matter if Duke's the best team in the world or just a good team. But it's really hard to cut out the fact that he loves, respects, admires his friend Jeff Capel, and knows that Jeff has told him all the things his team went through, and he didn't offer up a team that he wanted to take out of the field, only that Pittsburgh belonged it. The data tells you they shouldn't be in the field, right? Because the data doesn't have emotions that tie you to, hey, you played at my school, you're my friend, I think the world of you. Am I making sense? Again, and I'm not, and this is, people all say all the time, like, you should put coaches on the committee. No, you shouldn't. Do you know why? Because the coaches would all choose their friends and all pick against the guys that they hate. That's the reality to it. Right? How do I know that? Because most of us would do the exact same thing, right? If we have to draft radio shows and radio people, right? You're going to pick the people that you like the most and not pick the people you don't like. Most people are. I feel like I'm the only, I don't really say honest man. Maybe I lack the empathy, but I just pick the best teams and I don't care. But I think that idea is few and far between. And I would also rely on data.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
If you looked at those brackets right now and you look at where the hosts are, you would see Doug Gottlieb on top of that mountain. A 2-0 start to the bracket, and the host of the show joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Why did you like Duquesne over BYU in that 6-11 game today, Dougie?
Again, probably a little bit inside knowledge here. First, Keith Dambrot, fellow member of the Tribe. I've watched his team a bunch. They're really athletic across the board. I thought they matched up well with BYU. I think styles make the fight. BYU, they actually 51% of their makes on the season are 3-point shots. They actually make more threes, take more threes than they do twos. And I thought Duquesne came out with a great game plan. And listen, you have a couple of days to prepare for BYU as opposed to had BYU won that game, their second game, they're hard to prepare for because they play so much differently than most teams. You know, five guys that can shoot, a lot of different actions. I just thought Duquesne was a little bit more athletic. They did a great job of making BYU finish at the rim and then finish over length. And, you know, BYU went on a couple cold stretches. I mean, honestly, the game was a little closer at the end than it should have been because Duquesne, a couple weird fouls and bad defensive plays by them allowed BYU to stay close.
So, Doug, I'm looking at your bracket right now, and you – had the conundrum that I was in, you went all in on. So I was at the Pac-12 tournament. I saw Arizona look as good as any team can possibly look against USC. Then I saw them, you know, listen, Oregon's got some dudes now, but, you know, and that's been my problem with Arizona. They haven't been consistent for two games in a row, basically all of Pac-12 play. The talent is unquestionable, but so it clearly you think that they're going to be able to kind of keep that switch flip for the totality of the tournament.
I mean, you know, it's a guess. So here's the logic behind it. What we do, and it's very normal, is we take a team and we say Arizona, you know, they haven't gotten out of the first weekend, three of the last four times they've been in the tournament. And we say, well, this is an Arizona trend. And it's fair. But you have to take a longer look at this team where they flipped out their backcourt. You know, that Kirk Carissa was their point guard in the previous two tournaments. He's at West Virginia. He's a great shooter, but doesn't have the ability to pressure the ball or get into the defense. Kylan Boswell, who played in a great game today. Now, he's been a little up and down, but Kylan Boswell gives them a guy who's a threat at both ends. And then they go and get Caleb Love, who, you know, has played for a national championship. Not a great defender, but a great scorer. He struggled today, but he's a Pac-12 player of the year. Then they add Keyshawn Johnson, who, remember, started for San Diego State last year. And Keyshawn he's going to hit threes. Not a lot of teams are going to beat Arizona. He hit two today. But you brought in two guys in Love and Johnson that have played for national championships. You changed out your point guards and give yourself a much more athletic point guard and create shots. So I just like this Arizona team and their talent. More so than I do some of the other teams that they're going to face. So it's a little bit of a gamble because, you know, obviously UConn's sitting there in that same bracket. But, I'm going all in on Arizona to play in the desert.
We don't get to say this too often, but Doug Gottlieb joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug because Doug's doing his stuff with Westwood One. You talk about Arizona and maybe people having a fear of putting that name too far in the bracket. I think the same could be said for Purdue. Glancing at your bracket, you feel that this is a Final Four contender. Is it with their region, or you just think that Purdue is ready to take that next step to be, which we've been waiting for 40-plus years?
A little of both, you know. I mean, projecting out, I mean, was it Kansas or Gonzaga waiting for them? You know, again, if seeds hold in the Sweet 16, and I, you know, Kansas without Kevin McCullough, I don't think is going to make it out of the first weekend. And if they do, they're not beating Purdue. And then Gonzaga, it's a good Gonzaga team, but it's an outstanding Purdue team. I just, and some of this, and Aaron can attest to this, is the bias of having seen Purdue. I saw Purdue lose to Wisconsin just last week. I've seen them survive Illinois. But when you see them in person, they're so impressive with their physicality. They have just enough depth, just enough shot-making, just enough experience. Do I love them? No, but, you know, this is like they're all like superheroes. They all have their flaw, right? And Purdue's flaw, probably twofold. One, not crazy athletic in their backcourt. And, you know, Lance Jones changes some of that because he can go get a bucket. And then, you know, look, if Zach Edey gets into foul trouble or you can make him come out in the court and guard, you know, you can give them fits. On the other hand, you got to figure out a way to guard him. And he's so different than any player you're going to play against. They are different. It's really hard. And I'm betting on Braden Smith, especially in Fletcher Lawyer as sophomores, to show some maturity. You know, Braden's got a little banged up in the Big Ten tournament, but I'm betting on eventually they'll figure it out. It's like, look, we've seen Virginia struggle in the tournament, lose as a one seed to a 16, then win the championship the next year. So it happens to all of these teams, and you got to get the right timing, you got to be healthy, you got to get the right draw, a little bit of luck. So I'm betting on a little bit of luck here for Purdue.
Same things, kind of same vein. You know, Houston was just destroying everybody. Big guy Juwan Roberts gets a little bit banged up. Have you heard anything?
But I haven't.
Yeah, it's like they've been so awesome all year, but at some point.
I know, but that's like when you don't hear about injuries, it makes you think they're not going to play. And if they don't have all their guys, yeah, it changes you. By the way, here's just a question, and I'm not saying you guys, okay, but how many people said, you know, the tournament committee is such a joke after the Virginia thing, and there are two teams that they said don't belong in Virginia, Michigan State. Michigan State dominated Mississippi State. Now, I agreed on Virginia not being in. I thought Michigan State was absolutely a tournament team. I think you completely reward a team that plays that level of schedule. And they always, because they're Michigan State, they play a more difficult Big Ten schedule than some other teams. But it's really interesting how eerily quiet it's gotten on social media. Oh, the committee's a bunch of idiots for Virginia. Well, you were complaining about the Michigan State entry, too. Apparently, they might have known what they're doing there.
I'll even say something about Michigan State, and it may not be entirely true, but at the time when they lose to James Madison, we didn't know James Madison was James Madison. And
true.
And that there is a thing of like you lose to James Madison. There is something there's I don't want to say a stench because it's too harsh of a word. And not that Michigan State didn't have opportunities to right their wrong, but I think that kind of sticks with people. Like it doesn't erase because you just weren't expecting it at the time. And I think sometimes that sticks. Now I also think that people just say Izzo in March, Michigan State advances. Look at me, I'm right again. But I do think that sometimes that does happen with teams.
Well, listen, I mean, think about the matchup now. Carolina, Michigan State.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a great game. I mean, in all candor, I think Michigan State's got a great shot. And one reason is, and remember Michigan State, for people who didn't follow it, Jeremy Fears is the star freshman point guard who they expected by this time this year to take over as the starter. He started to play more and more minutes. We got shot when he went home for Christmas, like a stray bullet shot him, so he's out for the year. So, like, there's some stuff that goes on that you can't plan for, and they figured it out. But I think we're in for it. Those 8-9 games, especially, and I know, Aaron, you believe this, if FAU can win, I mean, FAU, UConn, North Carolina, Michigan State in the second round, holy cow, are these games amazing.
They are. You know, I actually wanted to ask you about UConn, and excuse me, not just from a, you know, win, loss, tournament, whatever perspective, but, you know, I saw like Jeff Borzella from ESPN interviewed some NBA scouts this week, and they said, you know, best team across the board that I've seen in X number of years scouting. Just as a coach, as a guy who's been in these games, played at high levels, for people who don't know the X's and O's and what UConn is doing on a night-in, night-out basis, like, how impressive are they, and, like, how tough of a scout are they? Because it just feels like across the board they're pretty darn good.
Well, their style offensively is very much like a FIBA-influenced style, where they're running a lot of the same actions that people run, but there's all this, you know, it's kind of sleight of hand. We take over here, we take over there, we take over there, and then they run the action. And they just get into their stuff. And then you combine that with they're one of those tough-ass teams that play hard. Like, I mean, so Danny, obviously learning from his dad, I mean, it's about toughness, competitiveness, at the defensive end, sharing the ball on offense. Then you factor in they're beautifully coached on offense, and they have really good talent and pieces that fit together. All of those three things are important, right? It's not just the players. You have to have them pieced together properly, and then they got to accept their roles. Yeah, it's not just a really good team. It's a great program, and they're beautifully coached. And it's just interesting because, you know, Danny's teams and his offense has evolved over time. And I think, you know, if you were to watch the high-level FIBA stuff, that's what it looks like when you watch UConn. And then you have this beautiful spacing and ball movement. So, yeah, they're tough to – and the other part I like about their team is playing for a couple weeks without Donovan Kling in their center. They had to develop a little bit more of their bench. And you have to sometimes play left-handed in the tournament. There's going to be a time when you got your best players in foul trouble. And they have that. They got just enough swagger. They got just enough experience. They have rim protection. They have athleticism and shot-making. Again, I don't have them going to the Final Four, but it's more a factor of the fact that it's just really, really hard to repeat, you know? And I do wonder what happens if, kind of like a Creighton, you got some guys that can drag your, you know, drag Donovan Klingon away from the basket and make him defend the perimeter.
He's Doug Gottlieb, the host of this Doug Gottlieb Show. Let's do this again tomorrow if we can. How about that? Sound good?
Okay. Okay. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Don't get comfortable. Those are my chairs.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio, and you could make the argument, and I will, that in the modern history of college basketball, he had the greatest career ever. 4 Final Fours, back-to-back national championships, All-American at Duke, and then, of course, he was the only college player on the Dream Team. Christian Laettner joins us, the Duke legend, on behalf of DraftKings. He joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Christian, how are you?
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Has it dawned on you at all?
You're still considering my time as the modern era?
Yeah, the modern era. Modern era is like once we went to 64 teams, once it became everything that Bird and Magic kind of made it into, I wasn't alive for the UCLA thing. There were so many fewer teams. I don't know, when I was a kid, I went to both the Final Fours that you won. No, I didn't go to the first one, which was when you guys, beat UNLV. The second one in Minneapolis, I was there. But again, in my lifetime, there's never been a better career. So that's modern to me. that's my argument.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. In 5-10 years, it might not be considered the modern era anymore.
Well, again, also in 5-10 years, no one's going to do that. Right. One, guys don't stay. And though some big guys will stay, they oftentimes don't stay the same school. Right. And what is watching the player movement? And granted, you obviously would have killed it in NIL. But watching the player movement, what do you think of this new era in the college game?
You're totally right about that. It just will not ever, ever happen again because people want to go to the NBA and make that big, big money. It's just the sign of the times and the way it is nowadays. Coaches don't stay in one program long enough. Players definitely don't do it. And I'm here to tell the world that basketball gets better when everyone stays, when everyone is under the same system for like an extended period of time. Look what Danny Hurley's doing at UConn. He gets some of his kids to stay. He has some junior and senior leadership on the team. And to me, they just play the best version of basketball that you can see in college basketball right now. They play slow when they need to. They pass ahead and run the fast break easy and swiftly for easy buckets. And I just love the way UConn plays right now.
I do too. I really do as well. Do you mind if we play the Wayback Machine? Because I think it's more fun than talking about the current stuff in many ways. I'll get a couple of your picks upcoming, but The year you lost to UNLV was in Denver. There was altitude. Bobby was sick.
And also UNLV, I think they had some NIL before NIL, right? Let's just kind of be honest. And they had grown-ass men there as well. The juxtaposition of losing that game to beating them in the semis the next year when so few people believed it was possible. What do you remember about the feeling of actually beating them the second time?
Well, they were definitely the Running Rebels. I mean, that's the name of their team, and they were incredible back then. Very well coached. Some very high-quality players, like you said. And the pressing and the high-octane offense and the fact that Bobby was sick and he was also only a freshman. So even if he was fully healthy, I don't know if we would have had a better game. But, you know, I was only a sophomore, and we just couldn't handle their pressure. But they alone made us better. Playing them that year when we lost by 30, and playing them the following year when I was a junior, we were able to beat them. Just playing against UNLV two games during my career made us such a better team. So, I mean, it was good for us. And, man, they were really good. And what an embarrassing night, you know, that final game in Denver. They beat us by 30 points. But another big factor is that we only had, like, you know, 48 hours to prep for them, you know, when we lost by 30. But the next year, we had a whole week to prep for them because it was the semifinal game instead of the final game. And if you give Coach K a whole week to prep against the team, you know, I think the results are going to be different. So to have a whole week to prepare for them my junior year when they were undefeated and no one gave us a chance, that was a big reason why we were able to beat them my junior year.
What about prepping for Kansas, right? Because it was a lot like when we beat the Russians in hockey, right? They still had to play Sweden in the gold medal game. Like, you still had to play Kansas. How'd you guys get ready for a championship game when you just beat the team that everyone thought was unbeatable?
Well, you're right. That was the biggest challenge for us. And, you know, if you look back at the videotape, Coach K's kind of trying to get us to calm down after we beat UNLV in the semifinal game my junior year. And he's trying to say to us, you know, the job's not done yet. We still got to beat Kansas in two nights. So that's just how he's a brilliant coach. And, man, in the course of my 4 years, there's so many times where he was just brilliant as a coach. And that's just another example of where, yes, we just beat UNLV. They smashed us by 30 the year before. They were undefeated. No one gave us a chance. And we played our best game possible, and we were able to beat them. But we still want the championship, but we still got to beat, you know, either Carolina or Kansas in two nights for the championship, which is our ultimate goal. So it just shows you how great of a coach he is.
Christian Laettner joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio on behalf of DraftKings. Okay, so then the next year you were the hunted, right? You were the hunted. What's that like to be UConn, to be the team that is the national champion, to defend your crown? You got to go through it. What's that experience like for this UConn team, from your perspective, having done it?
Well, it's something that I loved because I knew that you're going to get everyone's best shot and it's going to hone your basketball skills to the highest level. So that was the whole reason I went to Duke, you know, coming out of high school. And to go through that experience my senior year when we, you know, were trying to defend our national title, it was something that I loved. It was a great feeling, and you just knew you were going to keep getting better and better and better as a player. So it's something that I relished. It's something that Coach K was very aware of, so much to the point that, you know, halfway through the season, he had a meeting with us and he told us, you know, the cliche might be that we're the ones being hunted right now. Like just what you said, Doug, where everyone thinks we're being hunted. He specifically told us, I want you guys to change your mindset and let us still be the hunter. Don't feel like everyone's gunning for you because we're trying to defend our national title. He said, I want us to pursue our next national title. So just another example of him being brilliant.
He was brilliant, but so too were you guys. All right, I got to ask you, on behalf of DraftKings, who do you have win the national championship?
I just filled out my bracket today, and I have Houston winning it all. I have Houston, UConn, Carolina, and Purdue going to the Final Four, so that's all number one seeds. So, you know, nothing too tricky there on my part. But, you know, my junior year, we lost by 20 points to Carolina in the ACC championship game, the tournament championship game, and that really propelled us to play great for the next six games, and we were able to win our first championship. And I think Houston's going to be a little embarrassed by how poorly they played this past weekend in their tournament championship game. And I love that team. They play great defense, and it's just whether they can score a little bit on the offensive team. But sometimes they hold teams to 46, 50 points because they're so good on the defensive end. So I think Houston's going to win it all. I thought they were going to do well last year also, but losing in their tournament championship game like they did this past week, I think going to give them a little bit of an edge.
Christian, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. I thank the folks at DraftKings for allowing them to have you on with us. I appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Okay, Doug, thanks a lot. I talk to you every March. Hopefully I'll talk to you next March.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.